Welcome to the Living Parables Podcast, where we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the sanctifying work of God's holy word. I'm Nate, your host. To all the listeners tuning in, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate all of you, and now let us begin. Well, I'd like to welcome you back to a brand new week, brand new episode here on the Living Parables Podcast. I pray and hope that your Resurrection Sunday was a blessed one. I pray that you spent good quality time with family, and most of all, that you spent time with the family of God celebrating the absolute greatest day and the greatest event in human history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. And I just pray that this year would have been a year that it would have impacted you more significantly than years prior. So with that, this particular episode is going to be one that is a little bit different than the others. The topic of today's discussion varies in a broad sense. So a few things to go over. Number one, we're going to talk about the solar eclipse that's coming up, God willing, next week. Number two, we're going to talk about our next focus on the Living Parables Podcast. And number three, we're going to talk about the resurrection. So three different categories in one episode. And these are the things that have been on my heart as of late. And so what I want to do with this time that we have is to not waste your time, but to make the most of it. So first off, let's talk about the spooky, scary, quote-unquote, prophetic event that's going to transpire here in the next week, and that's the solar eclipse. Now, I want to first off and start by saying that a solar eclipse is a very significant event. It is something that you obviously don't see every day. And depending on where you are in the United States, you're going to see a partial, or if you're living in the path, a total solar eclipse. And how is this significant to us as believers? Well, first off, these events should lead us to a deeper appreciation of God, because I think these events do have significance, but not in the significance that I think that we're making it out to be. A lot of people are believing that the rapture is going to happen during this event, in which I'm going to just say this right now. If you look in the Bible for the word rapture, it is not in there. That's why I don't like to use that word. Also, the rapture has been used negatively and has been a good mocking point for us as believers by the secular world. And so I don't like using that word. If we're going to use any word that's biblical, I would say it would be the great harvest. So this event, because of the timing of it, has been thought of as two previous eclipses. Now, I will say this, that when our last president, Mr. Trump, was elected, there was an eclipse before that. Now, his election did rock the foundations of America, which it seemed, and there was some significance in that. Is there going to be any significance with this eclipse moving forward? I don't know. That's the funny thing. I don't know. And I will just say this. Any teacher of the Bible that would say anything about this as significance is looking for a popularity grab or a money grab, or just getting likes on Twitter or Facebook or whatever platform they decide to use. There is nothing the Bible says that this particular event, which it is a celestial event that's taking place April 8th, 2024, has any significance on end times events. And end times events seem to be the most popular to cover, to talk about, to write about. And as believers, let me just be perfectly clear here. We're here as God's instruments. We're here as God's tools, vessels to accomplish His will. Getting into these hearsay arguments, these, you know, conspiracy theories and all of these meaningless, pointless, oh, the second coming is coming at this time, at this day. Let's just see, this is why we have to go to the Bible. And we go to Mark 13, 32. And we'll use 33 as well, because it's very, very important. And this is Jesus talking. He says, but of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now listen to verse 33. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. So when you hear people say, I know the date or the hour, they are calling God a liar. And I don't think that we want to go to that point. But I want you to listen to Romans chapter 3, verse 4. It says, may it never be, rather let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. So, here's what you need to know. There is nothing in Scripture that says this event is going to cause the second coming from happening. Now, let's just say for fun that the great harvest does occur on April 8th. Let's say if it does. It was a good guess. It wasn't known with certainty. But if it does happen, then the question is, are you going to be taken up or not? Those who are true believers in Jesus Christ, when the event of the rapture or the great harvest takes place, that's not when Jesus comes back. That's when He snatches up those who are His, catches them and takes us to paradise. And that's when either the tribulation is in the middle of it or it's pre-tribulation. And we're not going to go there because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that believe end times prophecy. Is it pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? I'm just going to end this right here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are called to endure to the end, in whatever case that may be, We're going to be faithful and honor God in all that we say and do. So it doesn't matter if it's pre, mid, or post. Now, I'm not saying that this event is not significant, because we know that when these events come, they're not here by accident. And what God does is He uses these events to try to get our attention. Remember that it says in Scripture that the heavens declare the glory of God. And all these other events that happen in the heavens, they're letting us know that, number one, there is a God. And number two, that when you see these events, and when you hear about wars and rumors of wars, and you hear about earthquakes and famines in various places, you know that the end is coming soon. It's like birth pains. I had a very great conversation with my father yesterday on Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as I prefer to call it. And we were just talking about where we're at in our world. And when he was a young man, and he was just talking about there was not a purity, because no one is pure unless those who are made new in Jesus Christ. But he was just talking about there was a time where there was seemingly like an innocence in the world. And we talked about how we've reached a point in our world, in our country, our city, that we've reached a tipping point that I just don't know how we're going to come back from it. And evil is so mainstream today that it's quite alarming. But this is what God said was going to happen. There's a lot of false teachings out there thinking that things are going to get better before they get worse. And I got news for you. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. That's why, segueing into our next topic, where we're going to go next in the Living Parables podcast, is believers knowing how to endure suffering. We already talked about this, about our Standing Firm series. We briefly talked about it, but we're going to go through the book of 1 Peter. And I'm actually really excited to go through it, because I read the first chapter and I didn't read it and take notes on it. What I did was I actually read through it a couple times. Man, there are some things in there that we desperately need. And so we may have to get started with this before May, as I said before. That was just a guess, a ballpark. And I think now more than ever, we need to hear these words of Jesus Christ and his apostle, Peter, talking about suffering for the sake of righteousness and how to endure that. So we're going to go through that, God willing, soon. But it's interesting talking about suffering, and I'm going to go through this very quickly here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there is a verse that we've used several times on this podcast, and we use it for very good reason, because a lot of believers, they don't know the full extent of being a believer. And then when these times come, and these times I'm talking about are times of suffering for sake of righteousness, or suffering for the sake of Christ. And when they experience it or go through it for the first time, they realize, like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. And in which the reality is, yes, you did. You just didn't know it. That's why we have to give a full gospel presentation and not cherry pick the things that we want people to hear, because we don't want them to experience the bad stuff. And it's not bad, because we're never going to go through this alone. But listen to 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus," here it is, "will be persecuted. It's not maybe. It's not if. It's you're going to be persecuted. Remember, a servant is not greater than their master, nor is a disciple or a student greater than their teacher. So if Jesus, who is our master, who is our great teacher, if he was persecuted and hated, if we're truly followers of him, we will do so. We will be persecuted as well for his sake, for righteousness' sake. And I know what that sounds like, because trust me, there was a point in time in my life where I didn't want to go through that at all. And trust me, I'm not lining up around the block to say, here, okay, persecution here, I'll be first in line. But when that time does come, I want to answer that call. I want to be a disciple that is fearless because I have the greatest thing in me, and that's the Holy Spirit. So that's where we're going to go next, God willing, is we're going to go through the book of 1 Peter. And that's very significant. And that's very significant to our walk. And so with all that being said, we reach the third and final topic we're going to talk about today. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now I want to start off by saying that there was a point in time, and I'm not proud of this, where I struggled with the resurrection. And I think every believer, with all these different aspects of theology, if they're honest with themselves, that they struggled with these things. And let's just face it, there are certain things, even as 20, 30 year Christians, which, by the way, time doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you a deeper, more intimate follower of Jesus Christ. What does, however, is how close you do get to him, how much time you spend with him, how much time do you spend studying the word, how much time do you spend obeying the word, doing what the word says. That's the key. I mean, listen to James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word who delude themselves. Obedience is key. Obedience is key. And so with that, let's keep moving on with the resurrection. The resurrection has great significance because if Jesus merely died and his bones were in the tomb still, he was just another guy, just another prophet, just another religious leader, and that would be it. But we know better. We know better. That Jesus did not just die. He rose from the dead. And I want to read you a significant portion of scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of God. Now, this was not some secret event that happened. It was a very public event. Jesus did not spiritually rise from the dead. He had a bodily resurrection because there's a lot of people that teach that Jesus rose from the dead. It was only a spiritual resurrection, so he was essentially spirit. Well, two things to refute that with. When Doubting Thomas said, unless I put my fingers in the nail marks and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And then when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said, here are my hands. Here's my side. And not only that, but when he met the disciples by the river, by the sea, I mean, what did he do? He cooked them breakfast. Can't eat if you're a spirit. So, once again, these false teachings emerge. And where do these false teachings come from? They come from Satan and the fallen angels, the demons. Because Satan has only come to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to let you know that, oh, the resurrection is not exactly this. Or what he does, he doesn't come out and necessarily say that it didn't happen, which he's done a good job of trying to convince the world he hasn't risen from the dead. Which, once again, let's talk about that for just a quick second. The biggest event in human history is diminished by rabbits, eggs, which both of those two things combined make absolutely no sense. But the actual word Easter comes from Greek mythology, which was the goddess of fertility, Ishtar. That's where it came from. That's why I don't like to call it Easter, because Easter has no significance when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what does the world try to do? What does Satan try to do? He tries to take something and make it what it's not. Eggs, rabbits. And they say, oh, if you're good, the Easter Bunny's not going to come. He's going to come and he's going to give you candy. It's like, okay. But we don't want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what significance that means for our lives. Because if he rose from the dead, which he did, and he is now ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, shouldn't that do something to our souls? Shouldn't that stir us up in awe and wonder and reverence? And trust me, is hiding Easter eggs for your children sinful? Absolutely not. We did it yesterday for my kids, for my nieces and nephews. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. As long as that is not the significant portion of the day. If that's not the end-all be-all of Resurrection Sunday. We went to church. When we got together with family, we prayed over the meal. I had two very deep conversations, one with my brother-in-law and one with my father, about the things of God. And I'm not saying we're the perfect family, but that's how it's supposed to be. And if you're having a hard time having a discussion about Jesus Christ, I think it's time that we look in the mirror. Because I'm not saying that every conversation has to be about Jesus Christ, but who is more important than Him? And especially yesterday, by the way, why is this also significant? Well, I'm going to take you to a very, very powerful piece of scripture, which I told you that on Tuesdays, the men are studying Romans, and we went through Romans chapter 4. Very significant piece of scripture. At the very, very last verse, in verse 25. So let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 25. It says, He, talking about Jesus, who was delivered over because of our transgressions, that's talking about death, His death on the cross, for our sins, not His own sins, because He's sinless and perfect, because of our sins, listen to the end here, and was raised because of our justification. So if Jesus just died, and that was it, His death on the cross meant nothing. But because He rose from the dead, you know what that means for us now? That means that God approved the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient to cover and forgive our sins by His blood. And a preacher named Milton Vincent said something very, very powerful about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death was the purchase of our salvation, and the resurrection was the receipt that validates that purchase. Which I always, that's such a very, very powerful illustration, and it's completely legit. And that's what I want us to think about. Jesus purchased our salvation on the cross, but if he just did that by His death alone and never rose from the dead, He's not God. Only God can raise Himself up from the dead. And the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead, as well as the Father. So that it was a triune resurrection. And Jesus is now the first fruits of His resurrection. And because of that, we know that He is the resurrection, the life, that He is God, He is the Son of God, and that through Him and faith in Him alone, that one day, even though we'll die, we will rise again. That is the blessed hope. Because I don't care who you are. Everybody is fearful of death. Everybody's fearful of death. I don't care who you are. But here is what is very significant about the resurrection. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and go to verse 12, listen to this. Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? There's significant people back in the day, Jesus' time, the Sadducees, that didn't believe there was any resurrection. Verse 13 says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. I heard a preacher say this the other day. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, His preaching is in vain. My teaching on Tuesdays with the men and Wednesdays for the youth group, that's in vain. Our coming to church is in vain. Taking communion is in vain. Singing the songs and hymns, that's in vain. Everything that we do in the name of Christ is in vain. This podcast is done in vain. Anything in Jesus' name, if he didn't rise from the dead, is in vain. And listen to verse 15, because he takes it a step farther. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. So for verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. Do you see the significance of the resurrection? The whole New Testament is a lie. So everything that we know and hold dear rests upon the weight and truthfulness of the resurrection. And verse 18 says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our faith is completely worthless. But verse 20 gives us the assurance. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by also man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Everything rests upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our faith, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And Paul makes it very, very clear in verse, going all the way back to verse 3 now. I deliver to you as of first importance what I have received. It's the most important thing I'm going to say to you. And sometimes the deeper we go in our walk with the Lord, we get into these deep theological studies. And a lot of times we have to go back to the basics, because we can get too big of a head on our shoulders. It's about the gospel. The simplicity, but the profoundness of the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ, which we mourned and celebrated on Good Friday, his burial, and on the third day he rose from the dead. The seal was broken, the stone was rolled away. And here is one of the most interesting aspects of the resurrection. The napkin, and I use that in air quotes, but the cloth that was covering Christ in the tomb was folded. Why was it folded? Back in those times, when a master at a dinner was not finished with their feast, they would get up, they would fold the napkin, and they would leave. The folded napkin represented the fact that they were going to come back. So that's why Jesus folded that napkin, because it represents that this isn't it. This isn't it. He is coming back soon. Will it happen in my lifetime? I don't know. I don't know. No one knows the day or the hour. But understand that the reason why God allows time to go on and on and on is not because he wants us to suffer. He's trying to bring more people in. And we have to understand that. Are we going to play a part in the Great Commission? Are we just going to sit here and only show up to Sundays and say, okay, Lord, come on back now. There's much to be done in the kingdom. To whom much is given, much is required. How much work are we doing for the kingdom? Or are we just joining in for the hour-long service on Sunday, and that's the only portion that we're doing? How involved are you in church? How are you using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you to bring glory to His name and to His kingdom? How are you furthering the kingdom of God? Or are you trying to further yourself? Are you trying to build your own brand? Are you trying to make a name for yourself? Every prophet, every disciple, every apostle, every believer in Jesus Christ always points to Christ. Every true believer, prophet, disciple, apostle, lives for Christ and Christ alone. We are all in this together under one name. The one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I believe with everything that's in me that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect sinless life, and previous to that perfect sinless life on this earth, He was with God in the beginning because He is God. I believe that He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the one that the whole Old Testament, all those writers, all those prophets were eagerly awaiting His arrival. And many of them had no clue who He was. By the grace of God, we're on this side of the cross. We know who He is. I believe that He died on a cross. I believe that He was buried for 3 days. I believe that He rose from the dead. I believe that He spent 40 days on this earth after His resurrection. I believe on the Mount of Olives, He ascended into heaven. I believe that He is going to come take back those who are His. And then after that, after the tribulation, I believe He's going to come back and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And after that, we know the end of the story. There's not a lot of us who are there. You got to get there. Am I saying you have to believe 100% perfectly? No, because I don't either. I wish I did. Sometimes I feel like the father of the demon-possessed boy when he asked Jesus, hey, if there's anything you can do, if you can help. And Jesus said, if I can help? And he said, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. If we were sober-minded, that's us. That's us. So let's wrap this up. We talked about the solar eclipse that's coming. Use this as a time for prayer. Use this as an opportunity to tell people these are not signs that the rapture is going to happen or the great harvest is going to happen. But God, it's to get our attention. And it may be a day of significance. I don't know that. We'll see what God has in store. But it should bring us to a deeper appreciation because these things that would happen that happen in the heavens are there to let us know, first off, there is a God. And second, He's in control of all things. He is sovereign over all things. He holds every star, every planet, every galaxy into place perfectly where He ordains it. What an opportunity that would be to share Christ with people. Number two, we are starting to prepare ourselves for the teachings in 1 Peter. Prepare yourselves for that. Join in on that. Because there are so many powerful topics in that whole book that I cannot wait to go over with you. And lastly, we talked about the resurrection. Never let the resurrection become something that is watered down or lacks significance in our lives. We don't celebrate Resurrection Sunday once a year. We celebrate it every moment of every day and once a week with the gathering of believers, His church. We proclaim the Lord's death until He returns. He is going to return. Question is, am I ready? And the deeper question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Because when that trumpet sounds, if you are not in Christ, it is too late. And that is not something I wish upon anybody. So be ready. Be in readiness. Don't be like the parable of the virgins who did not have their lamps ready. Be the ones that were wise, that were ready. Don't be like the servants who were asleep when their master was coming. Be those who are awake, sober-minded, focused, reading the Word, obeying the Word, sharing the Word. Be devoted in prayer, constantly in prayer. Focus solely on Christ and Christ alone. So with that being said, I pray that the Lord blesses and keeps you and gives you peace. And remember, everything is in Christ, with Christ, and for Christ. And until next time, God bless you all.